All right, so this morning we will be turning in our Bibles to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. As many of you may know, I've been working through Isaiah and some of the different churches that I'm preaching at, and so we're all the way to Isaiah 7. So we're going slow through it, but there's a lot of good stuff here. So we'll be looking at Isaiah 7, verses 1 through 9. Verse 1. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken in the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tebul king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This is the word of the Lord. We give thanks to God for it. So a few weeks ago, there was a terrible tornado or thunderstorm that had some tornadoes in it in the greater Grand Rapids area. Now, I don't know exactly what it was like down here, probably some rain, but by us, we had terrible wind, and there was actually a tornado about 5 or so minutes away from us. So it was a pretty scary night. And I remember that night because we were watching a show, and I was looking outside, and I saw the thunderstorm rolling in. And I love thunderstorms. I love hearing the rain, so I open the window and hear the rain and the thunder. And of course, our dog needs to go out at this time when it starts downpouring, so I quick put on a rain jacket and lead her outside and then come back in. And I remember, though, just sitting and watching, and I remember there's this maple tree right outside where we typically let our dog outside. And it was just standing firm. Normally, it was swaying a little bit in the wind, but it wasn't too bad. And about 10 or so minutes later, the rain has been coming down pretty hard, and I check my phone, and it's buzzing and saying, tornado warning, seek shelter immediately. And so I have to take a second. I'm like, okay, watch versus warning. Watch is when it could be a tornado. Warning is when there is one. And so I quick run upstairs. I tell Alyssa, hey, we need a shelter. We need to get the pets, and we need to go to the place that we need to be sheltered and safe. And I quick gather the pets, and as I'm doing so, I take a quick glance out the window, and I see that same maple tree shaking so much, back and forth, and I thought for sure that tree might just break. If there was any bit more wind, that tree was coming down. And so we gather up the pets, which is a lot harder than you think, and we head on into the laundry room, in this warm college dorm laundry room, and we are just sitting in the darkness because we lost power, and we're just waiting. Waiting and wondering what might be left. And it feels like forever, but it really was only about 10 to 20 minutes. And then the tornado warning was off. So I quick look outside, I quick make sure that it for sure is clear. And sure enough, the thunderstorm, the high winds was nothing but just a little drizzle. And I look at that same tree, and it was standing firm. Through that entire storm, when it was shaking back and forth, afterwards, it just remained still. Though it was shaken by the powers of that storm, it still remained firm. And in our passage for consideration this morning, we see that there is also a storm coming against Judah. We see in our passage that in which this is taking place during King Ahaz's reign. And things are not going well for him right now. We see that King Rezin, who is the king of Aram, which is also referred to in the Bible as Syria, is coming against the nation of Judah. And this was a very strong country to the north of Israel at this time. And Aram was a very strong economic leader in the world at this time. The country traded with nations all over the world, and great wealth poured into Aram. And as they continued to gather wealth and possessions, they worked hard to continue to acquire more and more possessions and land. And they strengthened their military tremendously in order to accomplish this. And it just seems that Judah sat right on the doorstep of some very important trade opportunities. And so we read that King Rezin gathers his forces and besieges the city of Jerusalem. And these sieges would last for months and months. And the idea was to starve out your opponent so that they have to surrender. And this would be reason enough for Judah to be worried here. A powerful king is coming against them, seeking to destroy them as they have destroyed many other nations. But we see the true problem here. The true despair of this passage is that King Rezin doesn't march against Judah alone. We see also that King Pekah is also marching against Jerusalem. And this isn't just some random king from a faraway country that is coming against Judah, but this is the king of Israel. This isn't some unfamiliar conqueror, but an old ally. He was at one time a fellow citizen of the same country who now marches against his own kin. And this is the real depth of the sorrow that we read in verse 2. When King Ahaz hears that Israel is marching against them, he is completely distraught. For King Ahaz, he thought that when he needed help, that he could rely on the nation of Israel for assistance. But instead, when they needed all of the help that they could get, all that came from King Pekah was a heartless betrayal. And so this is the mess that we walk into in our passage. King Ahaz, locked inside of Jerusalem, is fearful of what may happen. Like trees shaking in the wind, King Ahaz looks like he is just about to break. The stress of trying to lead his people while also feeling overwhelmed is bringing him to his breaking point. Surrounded by his enemies, finding out that who he thought was a friend is actually an enemy, he wallows and wonders what to even do going forward. Now, I don't think many of us have an army of angry people sitting outside our doors this morning. But I do believe that there are two different elements of this passage that really hit home for us. The first problem that we see in this passage is the stress and the anxiety that the king of Judah has. And I know for certain that there are so many different sources of stress in all of our lives. From major things like life crises to the constant things, the little things that happen day to day living in a broken world, there are lots of different reasons for us to feel anxious, to be overwhelmed. And some days it seems like we can just handle everything that life throws at us and still be found standing strong, standing firm. But then there are just other days where it seems like just the slightest inconvenience, the slightest wind in our day just sets us off. And we're just shaking and swaying underneath the stress of it all. The fact of the matter is, we all face stressful situations and have different things that cause us to worry. We face it every single day. I checked numerous different sources and have found an average that about 70% of Americans say that they have faced a significant amount of stress every year, enough that it affects their physical or mental health. And then I looked and I found another study which found some of the different common causes of stress in our lives. Here are some of these top results. The first one is work. Well, not for pastors, though. Another one, getting sick or injured. The economy, and along with that, the rising cost of living. Personal finances. Being too busy. And lastly, problems with family and friends. And there are, of course, so many others that we haven't listed, but as we see here, there just is really no escape from stress in our lives. There's that last one that I want to unpack for us this morning, because it's what we see also in Isaiah 7 here. That's problems with family and friends. Now, this is something I am certain we all have faced. Perhaps we haven't faced a betrayal like King Ahaz did here, but I believe many of us have faced moments in our lives where we try to rely on someone who we believed was going to be there for us, but then wasn't. Perhaps it was someone that we trusted something dear to us, and then they said something terrible about us behind our back. Maybe it was someone we shared our worries and our pains with, and instead of wading through it with us, they just simply abandoned us, or they seemed to abandon us when we needed them the most. Or maybe it was a friend or a loved one that we were so eager to share our experiences with, but then in the end, we ended up going through life without them. Whatever it was, we have all had problems with our relationships with families and friends. And this can cause us so much pain and add so much stress in our lives. And at times, we can just simply feel overwhelmed. We feel like we are that tree in the tornado, shaking so violently that any added stress will simply just break. But as we return to our passage this morning, we see that King Ahaz is overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed by both the betrayal of the nation of Israel and by the fact that he is surrounded completely by his enemies. His heart was shaken. And it was at this point that he was then encouraged by the prophet Isaiah. You see, God sends Isaiah to provide King Ahaz peace. You see, Ahaz couldn't see the outcome of this besiegement of his city, of this capital. He knew that there was a very real possibility that he would not last this battle, that he would not survive. But you see, God knew the outcome. God knew the outcome, and he knew that the enemies would not enter into the gates of Jerusalem at this time. The Lord compares both of these kings to smoldering little stubs of firewood. Though they may burn bright, and though they may seem dangerous, they will be snuffed out soon enough. And so through Isaiah, God comforts King Ahaz. God tells him that they will not be allowed to enter Jerusalem as long as King Ahaz puts his trust in the Lord, there will be no reason to fear. And here we also see a very subtle comfort in the Lord's proclamation to King Ahaz. You see, God never actually names the king of Israel. Now, there are two main reasons for this. First, it shows how trivial this battle really is. You see, in major battles and wars, the names of the victors are often remembered and passed down through history. But here, God is not even going to say the name of the king of Israel because he will not be remembered for his triumph over Jerusalem. He will not be remembered because of this. And the second reason we see here is that God is not using the Israelite king's name is because of what it means. Now, King Pekah's name in Hebrew means he that opens. He that opens. And this strange name was perhaps given to him because of his military conquests, his ability to conquer cities and conquer nations. But God is confirming to the king that he that opens is not about to open the gates of Jerusalem. God has shut those gates, and though they may come against them, only God will open them. So even though King Ahaz is shaken, there really is no reason to fear. God knows the outcome, and King Pekah and King Rezin will not at this time enter into Jerusalem. As long as he trusts in the Lord as the head of the people of Judah, they will outlast this battle and God will lead them through it. And I would love to say that King Ahaz took these words to heart and that he trusted in the Lord at this time. But sadly, that's not what we read. You see, he doesn't have faith and he actually turns to man. He hires the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, to come and save him, to take away these armies. And in order to do this, in order to appease the king, he actually sets up all of these altars and all of these idols all throughout the nation of Judah. And because of this, because he did not stand strong in his faith, because he did not trust the Lord, Israel and Syria come back. They break through the gates and they actually carry him away as a prisoner. Now again, most of us probably don't have disgruntled armies outside of our doors this morning. But most of us do face stress and anxiety day in and day out. From the little things that we face every day to the big things that we have had happen to us, life can just be overwhelming at times. And it can feel like we are surrounded by our enemies with gates about to break open. And the comfort that we have, though, is an assurance of peace, knowing that God is in control. He knows the outcomes of our storms. He knows what storms we are facing and how much they will shake us. He is omniscient, meaning that he knows all of the things that we will go through, and he is also omnipresent, meaning that he is with us as we go through the storms of our lives. And because he is with us, we can have faith and peace, understanding that he knows what we are going through. Hebrews 4:15 explains to us that God himself, through Jesus Christ, has gone through the same day-to-day of living in a broken world and has faced the same issues and problems that we have. And I know some of us this morning may begin to wonder, well, okay, I know that God is in control of all of these things, but I still have fear and anxiety and stress. Does that simply just mean I don't have enough faith? Short answer is no. I would say having worries and fears is not a sin. It's not a lack of faith. In itself, I believe them to be just human emotions as a result of our fall, of the fall, because of our broken minds. We can trust that God has a plan for us, yet still be worried about it. We can be shaken by the storm, yet be found remaining standing firm in it. But it becomes a problem. Our stress becomes a problem when we don't put our trust ultimately in God. You see, if we become like King Ahaz and try to put our trust in other people or other things, then we are no longer standing firm. You see, trusting in God does not remove stress or anxiety or fear from our lives, but it does help us recognize who is in control. It takes the pressure off of ourselves that we often put on ourselves, and it puts it on God, who is more than capable to bear our burdens. It even calls us to do this, to come before Him with all of our worries, our concerns, and questions. It's what Matthew 11:28 is. It's our reminder to come to Jesus when we are weary, when we are anxious, when we can't seem to find our way forward, and He will give us rest. He will grant us assurance that He is in control and He journeys with us throughout our lives. Now there's this song called Praise You in the Storm that I absolutely love, and it's so applicable here. And it talks about a person that is going through a really tough time in their life, and they're praying to God, thinking that God would have removed it from them at this time, but the person remains in this storm. Despite their worry, they are still praying to God and trusting in His plan. And if you have time this week to listen to it, I encourage you to do so, but I at least wanted to share with you some of the lyrics of the chorus. It goes like this. And I will praise You in this storm. And I will lift my hands because You are who You are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, You hold in Your hands. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise You in this storm. I'll praise You in this storm. You see, trust and lament are not opposites. Praise and anxiety are not antitheses. We can praise God while we are still struggling in the storm. We can cry out to God in frustration while also knowing that He cares for us immensely. And so if you are feeling overwhelmed this morning, overwhelmed by life, shaken by the storms that you are facing, whatever burdens you carry, I encourage you to give them to God. Bring your fears, your worries, your anger, and your despair to God. Trust that He knows all of the pain that you carry, and all of the disappointments, all of the sorrow that you have faced, the ones you're facing now, and the ones that you still will face. He knows it all. But not only this, not only does He know it, but He Himself goes with you, giving you the strength to stand firm. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the encouragement in this prophecy from Isaiah that You know the outcomes of our lives. You know the storms and stresses we face, and You are with us in them. And we recognize that we have gone through some terrible storms. And in some of these instances, we haven't ultimately put our trust in you. And we ask that you would forgive us of the times when we have not had confidence in your plan. But we pray, Lord, that you would give us courage in all of our storms, big and small, to bring them to you. Give us the peace and the assurance that you have already gone through the agony of death to bring us new life. And that though we may struggle at times, that you will cause us to stand firm. Help us to see your hand at work in times of despair, and give us assurance for the times that we cannot see that you are right alongside us in all of our joys, frustrations, laments, and storms. We pray this.